There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you here. Easy to get in touch with the show as well. From the text line and the phone line, same digits, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Plus, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talk back message using that. So check those out as well to get through. Plus, I guess, I mean, you can send a good old fashioned. I mean, you can send a good old fashioned email. The email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. There you go. So ways to get in touch with the show. And I want to just hit this. This is like just kind of one off here, and we'll most likely be talking about this more in session, and which starts next week in Montgomery. But we'll talk about it next week on the show as well. And I heard Senator Elliott just talking about that with Jeff. This bill here, interesting too, that Representative Marquez is on this bill. Kind of, I guess it, if he's looking to curry favor in this end of AL1, it's probably a good move. I heard him earlier. I think he is from down here originally. But it says an Alabama state representative, this from WKRG, and a state senator are set to announce legislation that would end dredge disposal known as mud dumping in Mobile Bay. You know, this is a thing we've been talking about for quite a while. Legislation being filed by Representative Rhett Marquez and Senator Chris Elliott. According to the news release from Elliott, the legislation would require the Corps of Engineers to use at least 70% of the dredge material for beneficial use. Now, can I say that 70% is better than we were? Yes. I think those of us that are really worried about the turbidity in the bay would say 100% would be. Said some uses for dredge material include creating marshes, protecting shorelines, using for industrial and commercial applications, restoring eroded coastal habitats. Law would also make the Corps responsible for maintaining the ship canal, according to the release. Okay. Well, it, by the way, they already have plans to develop a new wetland system, kind of an idea like Gilliard Island is, but it'd be north of Gilliard for putting the spoil. I think that's really cool. I think that's a good thing to do. Remember, this is so... Senator Britz talked about this, about like defunding the open water disbursement. I don't know where that went. I mean, there was legislation in last 2024, I think, that they were talking about like taking the, in other words, taking the funding away from the Corps to be able to do that. This is a state bill. We'll see where it goes, but that discussion is in the mix. All right. Of course, what is dominating conversation all over our country, even, you know, if you wanted to get to the other end of the United States from north to south, you know, Minneapolis to Mobile, you're kind of looking at it there. But it has a lot of y'all talking here. We talked about some Wednesday on the show, people talking about it today. And I just want to, I'm trying to do my due diligence and not jump into, you know, being a decided opinion on something before I try to get all the information. And Jeff has had a nuanced opinion, which I thought was interesting, on the shooting of the woman there by the ICE agent. And I have I kind of feel similar. I've watched video. You know, you're like, well, if you watch the video, you know what happened. So I originally watched the video that focused on the rear of the vehicle, of that vehicle. And it looked like, okay, this woman's trying to run over the ICE officer. So then somebody said, oh, well, there's a front view. Okay, so I saw that, and I really couldn't tell there. Well, they've collated them, and I watched it, and it just, once again, this woman was not doing the right thing. She was not not doing what the officers told her. I mean, there's no, I'm not giving her any pass on that. I'm just talking about the lethal force level. To watch those, I don't, from what I've seen, I don't know that she was trying to run that officer over. That ICE agent over. And what can you, you know, people have thrown this at me. I got emails, I guess, last night. Well, here's when you can use lethal force and all that. And I've heard from law enforcement folks as well. But I mean, here's what it, like, okay, let's kind of go down the things that could happen out there. First of all, if you're out there protesting ICE, calling them bad names, holding up signs, hollering at them, that's legal free speech. That is legal speech. If you're set up your protest camp, unless you're violating private property, I guess, but you're set up there near where ICE is doing their operation, that's also protected. That's protected speech, expression in our country. If the rhetoric being spoken by the anti-ICE people is not great, and we've heard it, right? I mean, horrible things being said. That's still legal speech. This is what we've talked about, being a advocate of, you're talking about being a First Amendment advocate, which I am. There's quite often I find myself in a position of having to defend speech that I find abhorrent. But I love our rights more. So you can say horrible things. No specific threats here. We'll get to that. But you can say, like, you're a blankety blank or whatever. All y'all are going to, burn in hell. Still is protected speech. Might not like it. Still protected speech. Now, if those threats become specific, like, I'm going to kill you, like me kill you, or we're all going to kill you, well, then that goes past the free speech, right? It's a criminal offense. Also, the other part of this that kind of exists in our time now that didn't exist, the founders had no idea about this, but doxing somebody, right? Oh, yeah, well, you're Agent Sullivan, and I want to tell everybody where you live. Who knows what might happen? There's some reason to talk about that not being a freedom of speech issue, right? And there's criminal charges around that. And then there's the one, so I'm kind of laying out the bookends, right? Criticizing ICE or immigration policy is completely defendable legal speech. I don't think anybody out there, maybe there's some of y'all, I imagine be very few, would say, no, you can't do that. Because that's completely legal speech in our country. Say, hey, government, I don't like what you're doing. Hey, agents of the government, I don't like what you're doing. I think most of us agree that's fine. Physically attacking an agent, right? Stalking them, doing something to endanger them, putting a trap in front of them or something like that. That's a serious federal crime. So what was happening there on that snowy street in Minneapolis? Was she complying? No, she was not complying. They told her to, but watching some of the expanded video, the woman was sitting there letting other vehicles, I don't know, their protester vehicles or other law enforcement vehicles, like, go in front of her. Like, she was waiting her turn to get in line with these vehicles. Then she's being told to move on. Law enforcement comes up, says you gotta go. She's gotta move, and then doesn't move right then. ICE agent comes up and tries to open the car door. Right? You see that ICE agent try to open the car door, like, to extract her from the vehicle. Now at that point, she's told to stop, should stop, put it in park, 100% agree with you. But she doesn't. And in watching, and once again, just like those of y'all that are all sure that it was completely her trying to run this agent over, after watching what I've watched, I'm not completely sure that's true. I'm not completely sure she's trying to get away, but there is something in my mind that says this woman's panicking and trying to get away. Now, that's evading officers, not doing what you're told. Absolutely, you should be prosecuted for it. But what I saw in that video is more like getting away. Now, if she's trying to hit the officer, and I know this officer has been drugged before, the backstory is horrible. This agent probably has PTSD, big time. Who wouldn't in that situation? But the woman may be trying to flee, panic flee, Not a good idea. She should have complied, done what, 100% agree. But you watch and go Google up some other images there. And like I say about everything, even in words, we talk about context, right? Read the, before you see the quote that makes you so mad, make sure you read, and I say this for the detractors of Trump that love to do this, right? Go read the sentences before and after, please. Well, in this case, watch the video from before and after. And it does leave me, gives me some pause and some questions. I'm not sure I know exactly what happened. I don't know that I have, you know, seen all angles, standing right there. And even if you're there, you have, you know, people that'll be witnesses to a crime, and you sit 10 of them down in the room, and you get 9 different opinions about what happened. But I think looking at this as it's a tragedy, right? I mean, it's a sad thing. This woman is dead. It's a tragedy that ICE agent had been drugged before and now has this on their heart and soul and their record. But being completely sure how this all went down, I think takes a little more introspection looking at the video. Once again, it's not to say it's okay that the person resisted. It is, might not like it. It is okay for people to protest ICE. I don't, might not like it, but they have the First Amendment right. Was she really trying to run over the officer? Was she panicked fleeing? Get to the text line. We come back. I'm sure it's going to be busy. 343-0106. Plus, my brother Jonathan McConnell joins us at 12:30. Kyle Hamburg from Landyap at 1:30. And make things a little lighter at 1:30. Zeke Buchholz from Crescent is going to join us. Lots coming up. Stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:21, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motorcars and talk some inventory with me, man.
Yeah, inventory's good, Sean. You know, we had 3 come in yesterday, and one of them was a really nice Nissan Frontier that we've already delivered this morning, so missed that one. We do have a 2020 Honda Civic that came in yesterday. Something you can buy under $14,000, a 2020 four-door Honda Civic's white. Really nice little car. Got 3 CRVs on the ground. We got a real nice Honda Odyssey, 2017 Honda Odyssey with 128,000 miles. Something can be bought for $13,000. So there's a lot of imports, and of course we always have the trucks and whatnot.
Okay, well, talk to them about the website and just come seeing you in person.
Website, lcmmotorcars.com, desktop or mobile site. Both of them get you everything you need. You can text back and forth with us, do a credit application online if you'd like. If you want to come see us in person, we're at exit 15A on I-10. It's 1 mile south of I-10 on the left-hand side. There's Plantation and Highway 90, or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Hey, thanks, David.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. There goes David checking in from LCM Motorcars. Let's check in on some of these texts as well. Let's go first to the... Oh, by the way, too, thank you. Unnamed texter was talking about Jeff's bumper music, that he or she liked the bumper music and likes mine, too. Well, good. Cool. Thank you. All right. That same texter said, Sean, how much time did the officer have to determine what you have decided after studying multiple slow motion recordings? Would he have been injured? Could he have leaped out of her path? Don't know that. So, texter, that's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying to have a concrete idea either way. Like when I saw the rear view, was the first thing I saw. So that you look at the back of the vehicle, I said, it sure looks like she's trying to run him over. And then I saw the front view, and I'm like, I really can't tell. And then this new collated view and the, like, what was going on before, like the videos out from that ICE agent right now, from that you can see in the video, he's holding that phone, videoing the SUV and the driver. That's also interesting. I'm just saying there's more, like, that it's so concrete. And you have a person like this who was drugged by somebody for all that distance, who most likely has PTSD from this. It's just, I'm trying to put this all together. Pat says, I seen a video just 10 minutes ago from the front and the left view. line of the door camera. She actually hit the officer in the leg. Either way, I don't think she was trying to run him over, just trying to get away. I think she panicked. But I mean, I don't know what was in her soul. But you see her, like, in this video that comes from that ICE agent's camera. She was kind of, she didn't seem like somebody who was going to try to run somebody over. But I think she panicked. And maybe the agent panicked as well. Let's see. Buddy says the bullet hole was in the front windshield, which should tell me the shot came from in front of the vehicle. So you're saying he shouldn't have shot and just let her hit him? No, absolutely not. But there's also a video I'm seeing, Buddy, where it looks like his legs aren't underneath the vehicle. But just like to the initial texture there, I'm not going to assume that that agent didn't think he was going to be run over, right? So that's another thing. You have to, what would be a reasonable expectation in that situation? I'm just saying there's more stuff coming out here, and I think it, you can still have your same opinions, of course, but you need to look at all the different angles and try to, if you're going to pass judgment here one way or another, yeah, I'm interested in what really happened, and I do not want to jump to conclusions. I think it's a tragedy on all sides. ICE agents there doing their job, right? This protester, I might not like what they're protesting, but they have a legal right to protest. But they don't have a legal right to harm an officer or an agent. What did she panic? And drive at him that way. This texter says, you're exactly right. She was leaving. Another unnamed texter. Come on, y'all. Give yourself a nickname on here or something. They got a handle on the text line. Said, did the agent form a reasonable conclusion in a split second that his life was in danger? That is what matters in my opinion. Unnamed texter, I think that's pretty solid, right? What was in that agent's mind? What did they think was going to happen? So this obviously is going to be hashed and rehashed and hashed yet again. This from another unnamed texter. So I guess the better solution would have been every time ICE is dispatched, send out a riot squad to handle protesters, then they could do their job without worrying about crazy leftists. Maybe not bad. That's maybe not a bad. I think, you know what? I mean, you bring something up there. If their job is to go get illegal immigrants and detain them and get rid of them, right, and send them back to where they came from, maybe it takes a group to, of course, that gives away the fact that you're doing a raid. But I like your idea. Like, let them do their job while another law enforcement group does theirs. And I understand this. Chris in Orange Beach says, when you get the attention of an officer with a badge and a gun coming towards you, you do exactly what he says, or you're going to suffer some consequences. Simple as that. 100% agree that this person didn't make a good decision, Chris. I'm not saying they did the right thing. I mean, they should have been busted, detained. Oh, if they told her to stop and she didn't stop, 100% agree with you. But the question is the lethal force here. Dirt Digger says, Sean, me and you were raised that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, never harm me. Let's get together and work this out, this station, and let's turn up your voice unless it's against what is allowed on radio. Yeah, that's Butterknife said, I've only seen one shot through the front windshield. Did the others go through the side window? Yeah, I think, and I didn't stop and count. I'm sure there's people online have counted every, I think I heard maybe three, but I don't know that for sure. Butterknife says he shot multiple times and there's one shot in the bottom corner of the driver's side. Did the other shots go through the side window? I don't know that. Don't know that. Nick B said, I believe he is justified in his actions. He had just started to draw his weapon and suddenly the car lurched forward. So in that millisecond, he had only one option and that was to stop the threat. Yeah, and this goes back, Nick B, to like what others are asking, like what did that agent feel was happening right then? That's a, you know. The sector says, main question is, what is the rule of law in that situation for the officer? Can deadly force be used in that situation? You know what's interesting about this? I saw this online last night, that the same code, different groups from different sides of this argument had picked out the code. And if you just read their post, you would think the officer was completely justified, and then you read somebody from the left, and they'd be completely unjustified. And they're pulling from the same code. I think that was interesting. If you have to, like, the words they had cut and pasted were true, but they didn't do the ones before and after, right? And vice versa. Texter, unnamed texter. Which, that's the T-shirt we ought to get. We ought to get some of the T-shirts printed up. Are you in the T-shirt printing business? Could we print up some unnamed T-shirt, unnamed texter T-shirts with FM Talk 106.5 on them? Says her wheel was turned to the left, she would have run over him. Marty says she can protest without getting in the way of the officers. And Butterknife, if he kept shooting as the car is driving past him, does that say anything? A lot of questions out there. A lot of questions. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. 251. One of my New Year's resolutions, Jonathan, is to use the area code 251-343-0106. What do you think? You think that's a...
Let's go to 404. Let's just represent some Atlanta, you know.
But we are getting a new area code.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sometime in the next year, I had some story came back. They're going to have yet another one. But as long as we say 251.
Yeah, we need to say 251.
Remember back in the day, it'd be in 205.
Yeah, I remember 205.
Then 251, then the 334.
Yeah, I'm a 334 because of Auburn, and I haven't changed myself a number in 25 years.
I was a 205 because Roll Tide, baby.
Well, you know, nobody's perfect.
But that, listen, right now, I'm going to keep that kind of quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Jonathan McConnell, Meridian U.S., good to see you.
Good to see you.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. It's 2026. It started off interesting.
Interesting, yes. So this is from the perspective of a Marine. Interesting to y'all is like, places for us to do things.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's seizing new ships and seizing dictators. And, you know, it's interesting. I thought that, like, it was amazing that the Iranians were, like, so excited about the Mississippi or Ole Miss Miami game last night. They, like, were, like, burning couches already before they even knew who was going to win. That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, on the Iran thing. And, mm-hmm. yeah, because I want to come back to the seizing of the ships, too. But, you know, the situation in Iran, somehow, big surprise, probably coincidence, all internet, phone, cell, everything went out last night. When there last night was in Iran.
Oh, yeah. It's
at one time.
They couldn't even watch the game. That's how they were.
That's really mad. Because, you know, they were big
old
fans. I'd
tear down statues over that. Yeah.
Trinidad Chambliss jerseys all over Tehran. But when you see this, I mean, we already know what happens day in and day out in Iran. And I've said this before. When you protest somewhere like that, I think you got the big set.
Yeah.
You got some big stones. People protest here. It's one thing. You protest.
As long as you keep your car under control, protesting here is fine. Yeah.
Yes. So. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're in Iran protesting, they will just shoot you and kill you just for standing there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting to see the women who were bloodied because they'd taken off their bra. I mean, like, you know, to me, if you don't, regardless of what your narrative is and what you read, what you consume for data, like, if you just Google, and not to say Google's the best source, but if you just look up Iran in the 1970s, mm-hmm. it was bustling. It was incredible. I mean, it was just a very incredible Western society. And then all of a sudden...
My questions that run about Venezuela, how they, even as a socialist system, couldn't pull it together with oil money. But you had this country that had a very educated population. Mm-hmm. They had oil money.
That's right.
Which fixes a lot, right?
That's right. You can screw up a lot of times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've said this about Maduro. I'm like, dude, you're like a kid with a trust fund. Screw up, and next month you're going to get another check.
That's right.
So, it all went away.
That's right. Yeah, I looked up. I mean, I was looking up the oil reserves, and I, you know, listed the top 10 oil countries with the most oil reserves. Of course, Venezuela is number one.
They say it now. My buddy Jay Young, who's an oil guy out of Dallas, his new conspiracy is they don't have as much as they say. But yes, Venezuela is what number one.
Number
Iran.
One. KSA. Saudi is number two, and then it's Iraq, UAE, Iran.
Canada comes in then, like at sixth or something like that.
They're at six with like 180. We're at anywhere between 45 and 75.
Right.
You know, billion barrels of proven reserves. But if you look at that and you factor it out, and it's like, hey, well, if they do 2 million barrels a day, which is what Saudi was trying to do, that is 411 years of oil. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, if you do that in Venezuela, and you still have, you know, well, what did Trump 1 call those countries?
Yeah. You
can't sit on the air.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, like, and you can't make it. I mean, that's just absolutely phenomenal. At least socialism's working. It's a pretty good argument for socialism right there.
Right. I mean, because, but I thought even in that, even with socialism, right, and this is like me playing, people said, well, you want that? I said, no, I don't want this to happen. I'm just saying, if I'm Maduro, okay, and people, you know, the people were that poor. I mean, the Romans had it figured out, bread and circuses. I'm gonna take that, or instead of having it one third of what the production would be, I would have the big socialist propaganda, you know, posters like "Go to work for the oil. It's for the people, and it's for the and we'd increase oil production, sure. And I'd make sure my people had the meager pittance. They'd get a check from the government, which would keep them happy and subdued, except, I mean, like the uneducated masses kind of, they'd be subdued because they get that money, and I'd stay in power and be able to get my narco money. Like, I don't know why he let that part go. I would have increased oil money so I could have had checks sent out to the people. Not, y'all, I don't want to be the socialist totalitarian dictator. I'm just saying, if I was him, I'd have been sending people these checks to keep them happy so they would truly not have fought back against me.
Sean, I'm just picturing you in a white linen suit.
Oh, I could do
El Capitan with a cigar.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've seen part of this image.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, okay.
Fantastic. Long sleeve Guayabera.
Yeah, I mean, you have the chest fur.
I do have chest hair. Like, yeah, yes, I have South American dictator chest hair.
You
yes.
do. I was actually going to ask if I could, like, borrow some for a hair transplant on, like, to the back of my head. But, you know, it's...
Could have that look. But I don't know. I don't know how he couldn't make it work.
I don't either. I mean, it's just unreal. But I at least then you'd be beholden to oil as opposed to being beholden to the narcos. I mean, that's what's so amazing.
Right.
And you look at... I think it's like the responsibility of government as well, right? I mean, when you look at that high level, they enrich themselves. You look at why people don't have faith in the UN or don't have faith in the, you know, the different programs that are out there, obviously with Minneapolis and what's happening there. You look at Yasser Arafat's daughter. I mean, it was in the news there. She's worth $8 billion.
How'd that happen?
You know, like...
How'd that happen?
Oh, of course. All the UN...
She's
UN
great fucking, investments?
Oh, yeah, she's great investments.
Probably followed Pelosi's investments.
Well, Pelosi's, I mean, like, Warren Buffett's got nothing on her.
No,
okay?
She's the,
you know, but it's all this
the Oracle
money
of Palestine.
Palaware? What? Yeah. Oh, sorry. But yeah, so she lives in, I think it was Tunisia now, or she's in Paris, but she escaped. But she is still a.
She winters in Tunisia. She summers in Paris.
That's right. Well, but she is not even actually. She's under still
eight,
under.
How many? How many?
8 billion.
8 billion with a B.
Still under refugee status, which is quite interesting, too. So
just
like,
a poor refugee.
You know, like, you know, life's tough, okay? You don't know what it's like to have to pick out art, okay?
I
just have Tommy draw stuff for me, and I throw it on the walls, which is true. You've been to my house.
Yeah, I have. You have your son's art renderings. But if you could go to maybe buy some of Hunter Biden stuff, too, that would...
You know, I can't afford it. I mean, millions of dollars for such incredible art. At least he didn't take a banana and duct tape it to a canvas. Did you hear about that?
No.
No, come on.
Like the Andy Warhol thing? Like,
no, this was back during the Biden administration where some guy took a banana and duct taped it to a canvas and it sold for like a couple $100,000. And I was just like, I can't appreciate that. I'm sorry.
What my idiot buddies and I could have made in money in art back in the day because we'd have done something like that.
That's right. And you just got to be able to sell.
Or taped up something else on the wall. Okay, so on the Iranian thing, so... Obviously, Jonathan knows this because, I mean, spent time serving there for We the People and
not,
also...
Not in Iran, but yeah.
No, but in that region.
Region, yeah.
And you can't fight in Iraq and not know the presence of Iran.
That's right. Yeah, we were finding Iranian weapons in 2007. You know, we were weapons caches. We would literally, I'm going to have pictures of Iranian mortars with Persian Farsi on it, not Arabic.
Yeah, so... You there as you're fighting Iraqis, but you're really the Iraqis at that point were we always talk about Iranian proxies. They're Iraqis you're fighting that were Iranian proxies in Iraq.
That's right. Yeah, there
so
were.
You're familiar with them.
Yeah.
So if you look at this and your knowledge of that area, and then he knows it from a business side now in the general region as well. What's it going to take? Because the fact that everything was cut off. Tells me the bloodshed must be high. The more it ramps up, and this is your civilian buddy looking at it, tells me they're really, because they're on their heels.
Yeah.
Because if they can't lose one, they will be out of power, right?
That's right. I mean, now this is, I was just a dumb Marine infantry officer, but I will say this. This is where the Army does a lot better with the Green Berets going in teaching the insurgency process, and they know what it takes to topple it. But you look at the record inflation that they've dealt with in the last couple of years due to some of the embargoes mm-hmm. and that we've had on them. But I think they're very close. I mean, I texted you last night. Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching the potential regime change, not the football game. I mean, I was getting texts from friends about the football game, and I was just like, I would rather watch, you know, what is potentially happening. It's just incredible.
And that's the question, like, how far they go before, maybe, like, I don't know, this is just me in my head, like, enough IRGC people would ever go, the writing's on the wall, and somebody from the opposition comes and said, guys, come with us. We're not going to hold you to account to what happened in the past. There's some certain amount, and I guess I think like the Green Beret thought there, the counterintelligence, like how many of them have to defect to the opposition before this whole thing comes tumbling down? And I mean, the Green Revolution, I thought we were close. Obama did nothing to help them. It was close then. It sounds like, even though President Trump said, we're going to come in there if they kill any protesters. Well, they've killed them.
They've killed them. Yeah. Killed
but you know, we've got
last night.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we and that's what we're finding out about how many got disappeared and all that.
That's right.
But we have our Mossad's there. We're there. How much coaxing from your body does it take to make? Wouldn't that be who you think would defect if the IRGC members, if you get some number, hundreds, that I don't know how many, that it all comes tumbling down there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, I mean, I don't think it would take many. I mean, if you take 10, 20% of the IRGTC, like just switching over, and at that point, it's like, it's a domino effect, right? Like, hey, these guys are doing it. Like, well, now, and if you take your capabilities and your weapon systems and now you do that, it'd be incredible. If we could only, like, export some of our violent leftist liberals, they would be like some of the best fighters out there. I mean, like, you know, if you think about it, especially if you give them Suburbans. Is it too soon?
Yeah, it's too soon.
For you, or not for Marines. Sorry.
So I got somebody stopped me in the parking lot here at the station and told me that he was in danger because he drove a Honda Pilot now. I said, well, that's a little
bit of calling him something.
That's a big,
yeah, sure.
That's a big stretch there. But I just wonder, I mean, I wonder that. I wonder how close, I don't have the sense you have, how close this is to really doing this thing that for 30, 40, well,
46 years
has been in place. I mean, that this could, we could wake up someday in the next month or two and they're gone.
It would be incredible. I mean, you're looking at, now you've taken Iran off the table.
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
And we obviously what happened this summer and this fall has really crippled them.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, October 7th, which was a huge, you know, really, they thought, a swing for, you know, for the Arab world against Israel. And Israel, you know, with what's that movie coming out, paging Hezbollah? just kidding. But, you know, with their pager operations, with their radio operations, what they've done to completely cripple Hezbollah, you know, Venezuela and Hezbollah are not separate.
I mean, right.
There was a, 2017 investigation, you know, where I think it was a Politico article, and I'll send it to you. You can put it on your website if you want to, but it's like, you know, it was a 67-page article that I reread on Sunday, just being like, there were ties. I remember reading this 7 years ago, there were ties to the Maduro administration, to Hezbollah, to used car sales places here in the United States, and that's where they were funneling narco-terrorism money that was going to fund terrorism.
Kind of like reverse Iran-Contra.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, and you're like, man, it is all interconnected. And, you know, the bad people, once you're doing one bad thing, you might as well do another, you might as well diversify because, you know, just in case the market goes down.
That's right, right. You hedge.
That's right. You got to hedge.
You hedge. So. But, I mean, this is the idea because I am so protected of y'all, our warriors. I get called isolationist, all these things, because I'm very protective of all y'all that are my friends.
Appreciate it.
And, you know, I would sure like to see Iranian boys and girls do the job for themselves.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we can help nudge in the intelligence world, then nudge away. But I'd love to see them do it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. I love, thus far, even, I mean, like, we conducted a raid into Venezuela and took the leader of another country, and we lost. No one was KIA. There were, 12 wounded? 12 of our guys wounded. Incredible. And then we did the bombing in Iran. Lost no one, lost no aircraft. I mean, we are
courtesy God bless of it. Israel having bombed every installation between the clear flying highway to go in there. Right.
That's right.
Okay. But I mean, yes, so that word's gotten out. Even I had a story, if we get time later today, the Petro, the head of Colombia, who said, come and get me.
Yep.
And now he's took a call from Trump, and now he's coming to the White House.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's the Donroe Doctrine, I guess.
It's, yeah, the Donroe Doctrine for sure. Like, no, hey, we'll come get you. I mean, it's...
people got shocked that he pushed back. He's got to push back. I say this a lot of times. Absolutely. The rhetoric comes out of these other countries. What do you expect them to do?
That's right.
If the United States is saying, we're going to, you know, come get, then you got to at least get in front of things and say, damn those Americans, you come and get me. You can stick it in your, you know, whatever. And then back channel you work.
That's right,
in.
Absolutely. Well, that's what Iran did when they bombed Qatar, right? Right after our bases in Qatar, they alerted us. Yes. They let us know. And so we pulled everybody back.
Yep.
They did their attack and said that.
And that was for the home audience.
That's right. That's all it was.
Yes.
And I'm sure they had some great video of it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's all showing and saving face.
Yeah, big time. All right, we come back. I want to talk about with ships being boarded, and we can go back to September, that Chinese-flagged freighter that was heading to Iran, the whole way to what's happened with oil tankers in the last week. Your business is protecting those kind of things. I want to hear your perspective on how these were done.
Sure.
Coming right back, Jonathan McConnell with Meridian U.S.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. My buddy Jonathan McConnell, Marine, El Presidente, dictator of Meridian U.S.
Sans a long, awesome beard in the chest here. I don't have near the rug.
I got to work on, work on your dictator look. I think I can pull it off. That's maybe what I do. Maybe I do Maduro for Halloween next year.
I think the
I have the wrong color hair. I got to change and dye my hair, but I can do the rest of it.
You know, someone actually said they already created the joke kits of what you dress up as, and it was the him on the helicopter with the things and the sunglasses.
And wearing the Nike sweats and stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's got to be matchy-matchy, though.
I like it. Yeah, you got to have that look. Yeah. So from your perspective, so what Jonathan does and his Marines do is keeps people from boarding and taking ships. Is that a fair explanation of...
Sure.
Okay. So through your eyes, seeing what's going on, what are you thinking? I mean, this high seas stuff, man, this is right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been asking for letters of marque for 16 years. A letter of marque is a commission on behalf of the U.S. government to go and take illegally operating vessels or vessels that are adverse interest to the United States. And
Of course you did, wanting to go on offense. Like, y'all's business is defense, but a Marine. Yeah, okay.
No, you're kidding me. Best defense is a really good offense. And so there's about 350 to 400 illegally operating or shadow fleet vessels out there. And so I've been asking for, I mean, I don't want to just take out those guys. I want to take out the illegal fishing vessels that are just absolutely fleecing the Galapagos Islands and stuff like that. There's a couple boat captains down in Orange Beach who took me out one time. The sea state was a little too high. I'm a little ticked off about that still. I'd probably just sink them. No, I'm just kidding. It's funny then people were talking about the legality, and we can get into that if you want to on the Venezuela thing. Why are we the only ones that play by the rules or even think about playing by the rules? You know, and we generally do. We play by
the rules. And I'm such a nerd. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I run afoul of people with populism, because I'm like, rule of law, constitution. I'm a nerd.
Well, yeah. Because it protects the rights of all, right?
That's right.
There's a really interesting book called Breakaway. It was written about China, and China is an engineering state, right? And, and you look at just mass killings of people, they don't have a problem with that. They don't have a problem with, the mass abortions, killing children once they're born, if they're female, or, in general, if they're not allowed to have them anyway. And then they're a nation full of engineers. We are a nation full of lawyers, generally, our government is.
Yeah.
The top 15 people in China are 14 of them are engineers.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And so that in here, though, they're, most of them are lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very methodical. We think about stuff and how it affects everyone. And, we could probably learn a little bit from them. They could learn a lot from us.
Yeah.
When you think about being able to build a bridge, they're building highways in months. We're still trying to build the bridge across the bay. What is it? It's at least 15 years.
Oh, later. Yeah.
So, it's just absolutely ridiculous. So I think that getting back to letters of mark, if you allowed me to go through, or any company like me, where you issued companies that actually do have a really good, you know, safety policy, human rights policy, we're a signatory of the International Code of Conduct, out of Switzerland, you know, we would actually do it correctly. But these vessels are operating illegally, using, you know, spoof AIS mm-hmm. systems, false flags, false documents, not properly insured. So, like, you look at the overall thing behind this, it's like, yeah, they're moving illegal oil that's violating sanctions. That's one thing. But two, they're also not properly insured. So let's say this oil tanker with, you know, 1 million barrels on board sinks. Well, now, I mean,
Who do you go after?
That's right. Exxon Valdez was like 120,000 barrels.
Yeah.
You take out one that is 1 million barrels. I mean, it's a big deal. And so that's kind of what we're like, well, let us do this and do it responsibly. You know, have the proper crew on board to be able to
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Would you get paid by the United States? Would you get paid a fee per
vessel is kind of what we try to argue for. It's like, listen, I don't want to be your normal defense contractor that's doing a times and materials contract where it's like, oh, we didn't find anybody, but we sure did have a good cruise.
Yeah.
Like, hey, no, do it based off awards.
Rewards. I like that.
Like, can you sit there and be like, hey, well, that one's got 1 million barrels on it. Well, let me go take that one and you can just pay me part of that.
Yeah,
what
a commission.
A fee. Yeah, a commission. And then from there, you know, of course, you get to keep the ship because, you know, I need another ship, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, then you can properly scrap it if you needed to under, you know, IMO regulations or EU regulations based off of, you know, environmental quality standards, because half these ships, whenever they're scrapped or just pulled up to a beach somewhere, and then half the stuff just gets floating in our ocean. So there's a lot of different things you can do.
Okay. This is so beyond that. Maybe has anybody listened to you in Washington about stepping this up?
So Mike Lee actually proposed it last week. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not.
I got that text at least 300 times from all my military buddies. And so, like, hey, people are finally listening to you. I'm like, yeah, it's only 15 years too late, whatever. But hey, it's great. It's not going to go anywhere, right? It's not going to go anywhere. But I wish they would.
It's like flat tax or something like that. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. So, okay. It would be amazing, right?
I'm sure just given up after 25 years.
There was actually somebody sent me the article, and this was actually my favorite. It's like, the cure for male loneliness is to start your own private military company. And somebody was like, you're way ahead of the game. I was like, I tell you what, like, not lonely at all. Like, this is great.
There he is, the one and only Jonathan McConnell, man. Thank you. All right. Coming right back, hour number two.